Praise the Lord. This is June the 27th, Sunday morning, and we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start reading with verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm going to stop there. When you read these scriptures, you cannot help but think about the new birth. You know, what is the new birth? Being born again. The new birth. The God of this world's number one job is to keep people from being born again of the Spirit. That's his number one priority. I mean, he wants to keep people blind. He doesn't want anybody to see the truth. He doesn't want anybody to know the truth. He is a lie, and he's the father of it. And his whole mission is to blind people. That's his whole, that's exactly his whole complete mission. Got to keep everybody in darkness, keep everybody blind. And if you can blind somebody, they have a clue what's going on around them. You know, a lot of things can happen to a person who's blind that wouldn't happen to you and me. You know, if you were blind, say you'd been born blind and you'd never seen a tree. What if you'd been born blind and you'd never seen a water brook? Or if you'd been never able to see and visually see anything. You wouldn't have any implant in your brain, would you? You wouldn't have any images in your brain at all. You would be completely blank of an image because there's nothing that you could look at in your mind that even you could have a memory bank of a tree. But if you've never seen a tree, you don't even have a memory bank of a tree, a picture of it in your mind. And you just think about how terrible that would be, how awful that would be to be completely blind from birth, never to be able to see or know anything. And so that is exactly the enemy's plan, is to keep people completely blind, spiritually blind, I'm talking here. Because, I mean, that's a tragedy to be blind from birth physically, but it's to me, it's even a greater tragedy to live your whole life blind from in the spirit and never know God, never know the things of God, and never experience the things of God or know the things of God. To be completely blind, but that's his whole purpose and plan, is to keep a human race blind. Now, if he can keep the human race blind, he's accomplished so much. Because that person is never a threat to him. That person is never a problem. Because they don't know nothing. They have nothing to compare anything to. They cannot make demands on anything of the Spirit. Because they don't have anything to compare anything to. And I'm going to begin again reading here, verse 1 again, verse chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. If you've ever read the Bible, and I know most of us in this room, we read the Bible. But if you'll take a mental note every time you read the Bible and you underline the word see or seeing, so then there are a lot. And it's a spiritual note. It's a spiritual reference. That most of the things that Paul writes about, it's all about seeing spiritually. It's not about seeing a tree or a cat or seeing a house or seeing the sky. You know, it's talking about seeing things that are abstract in the spirit. Something intangible. Paul said one place, he said things that are seen, that are visible, are only temporary. It's the things that are not seen that are eternal. So most of what he refers to in the scriptures about seeing things is about spiritual things that they can you can actually see. But until you're born again of the Spirit of God, you can't see any of that. You have no way to even compare. You have no image. You have no reference point. Nothing. You're blind. And so the main job of the devil, his main purpose and main objective, I should say that's a good word, his objective is to keep people blind. Then he goes on, he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now that's in the dark. Dishonesty is a blind thing. Being dishonest is of the dark side. Not walking in craftiness. That's craftiness is talking about manipulation. Anything that is about getting your way, manipulating a situation, manipulating people, and working in every way you can, crafty, to be smart, to figure it out. You know, try to be crafty in a situation. Rather than trusting God, you rely on your own wit, basically, and your witty inventions. And you make it happen based on that. And then he goes on and says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Do you know a lot of people have learned how to handle the scriptures to get their way? They've learned how to manipulate God's word. Of all things to be deceitful with is the word of God. Then he says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel or good news, if the good news of Jesus Christ is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I mean, they've never been born again. They're lost. Do you know what to be lost is? To be lost means you're going to hell. Let's just make it plain. Nobody wants to talk about hell for some reason. You know, you don't hear much talk about hell these days. But I'm going to tell you, there's a real hell, and it's a real bad place. A real bad place. My 4-year-old granddaughter just came up to me the other day, and she said, Grammy, I've got something I got to tell you. She talks in this little 4-year-old voice and language, and she's very, very excited about this. And she said, I have to tell you something very important. So I paying real close attention. She said, Grammy, there is a real place called hell. And it's a pit. And it's got fire in it. And bad people go there. Did you know there was a hell, Grammy? I thought, she's talking about hell. And she's saying hell. And that's her little accent. But she was serious. And she said, it's a big, big, deep pit. And it's got fire in it. And she's 4 years old. Do you know she knows more about something spiritual than a lot of people do? And I'm so thankful. Her daddy took her aside and told her all about heal. A lot of people would think that was not a good thing. But I think it's a good thing. Because she's not blind to that spiritual revelation. It's a spiritual revelation. There is a hell. And the God of this world knows there's a hell. And if you can keep them blind, you keep them lost and on the way to hell. Lost people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. That's about as plain as it is. Lost people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. I used to just drive my daddy crazy. Daddy, you need to get saved. My mother would get so mad at me. She said, I heard that all my life. You got to get saved. Well, I believe you better get saved. What are you getting saved from? Well, you're getting saved from the devil's hell. You're getting saved from blindness, too. Because the devil's whole purpose and mission objective is to keep people blind. Keep people blind, you can keep them lost. Keep them lost, keep them blind. Equals the same thing. Lost equals blind. Blind equals lost. Lost. Completely lost. Because they've never had their eyes open to anything spiritual. Ever. They're blind. And aren't you glad you're not blind anymore? I remember a time when I was as blind as I could be. Thank God I ain't blind anymore. Thank God I'm not lost anymore. When you get saved and you're no longer lost, you know it. There's nobody, you don't have to go ask nobody, oh, do you think I'm going to heaven? You'll know you're going to heaven because you're not blind anymore and you're not lost anymore. You're saved now and you can see now and you have revelation eyes now of the Spirit. Thank God the devil can't blind you no more. Now, if he continues to blind you, shame on you. Shame on you if you stay in the dark in anything of the kingdom of heaven. It's just shame on us if we stay blind. Because it means we're still handling the Word of God craftily and deceitfully and all that other stuff. All the things of darkness. I don't want to be in the dark anymore, God. I want to be more like you every single day I live. Every day I live, let me be a little bit more like you, a little bit more like you, a little bit more like you. Thank you, Jesus. Someone said to me the other day, said, you know, I'm a terrible person. I said, we all are. We all are terrible people. We were terrible people when he found us. You know, I was lost and I was terrible. I was pretty terrible. I was pretty bad. I don't even want to think about some of the things I've done. But thank God they don't exist anymore, because he took them, threw them as far as the east is from the west. He threw every sin I ever committed into a sea of forgetfulness and never to be remembered again.
Amen. Yes,
and I heard someone say he put a big old no fishing sign up.
Amen.
In that sea. He told me one time I was just a praying and a crying over something I'd done. He said, don't remind me about that anymore. I don't want to remember it. It's gone. It doesn't exist in my memory. And every time you ask me to forgive you, you bring it back to my memory. And I don't want to remember. It's not even in my memory banks.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
God don't remember nothing. He said, don't talk to me about that anymore. And I heard it clear. He was like real strong. You know when the Lord scolds you? I got a scolding that day. And I never prayed about it again. First, and that was even after I was a Christian 4 or 5 years. You know, we all are going to fail. And you think you're going to get saved and get unblind and get unlost and get saved and go to heaven and never have a problem and never do nothing wrong along the way? You're wrong. But we don't stay wrong. We get right. Isn't that right? We don't stay wrong, we get right. I don't practice sin. I have sinned, but I don't practice it. You know the difference in the lost and the saved is the lost don't know no better but than to practice sin. They're professional sinners. They know how to, they just practice it because it's the thing to do. They don't know any better. They really don't know any better. The lost are lost, period. The blind are blind, period. The sinner is a sinner, period. Just the way it is.
Amen. That is.
Can a leopard take its spots off of its body? Can a leopard decide, I don't think I want these spots anymore. I think I'll get rid of them. No. Can you add an inch to your height by taking thought? Can you change the color of your hair because you wanted a different color? Can you add an inch to your height?
No.
Can you do anything to change anything? No. So a sinner can't change himself from being a sinner either. Blindness is blindness. But it takes the power of God that will absolutely, completely bring life and light and revelation and spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom. I'm talking God's wisdom will totally change you. Totally change you.
Amen.
Just start seeing some things. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not blind anymore. I can see. I can see. Because I now have eyes to see. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm saved. It's really that clear. But look at verse 3 and 3 and 4. But if our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world... Now, it's an in thing. It's in them to be blind. It's in them. It's in them. It's in their nature to be blind. They're spiritually blind. It's in them because the God of this world has blinded them. In whom? Do you notice the in whom? The God of this world hath blinded what? The minds of them who believe not. I've been reading quite a bit in the Amplified Bible. And when you read the word believed, every time you read the word believed, in parentheses, it says trust, adhere to, rely upon, is what believe is. To trust in, rely upon, adhere to, is what believing is. So anytime from here, you know, lately, anytime I see the word believe in the King James, I think trust in, rely upon, and adhere to. This automatically comes to my mind.
Amen.
So I'm a believer, so therefore I believe in Jesus, I adhere to, I trust in, and I rely upon Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what believing really is. Somebody who really does trust, rely, and adhere to Him. That's what a believer does. Because a believer sees the truth. But if our gospel is hid, or our good news about Jesus is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And He does that because He does not want them to see the glorious light and revelation of Jesus Christ and the good news about Jesus, that He died on a cross. He died on a cross. He was beaten 39 stripes first. Do you know that one, that any other man in history that ever took 40 stripes died? He was one stripe of death. That's how close. Any other human being would have died on the 40th stripe. Nobody lived past the 40th stripe. They gave Him 39. And they knew that. They knew that. They had beaten more people than just Jesus, but they knew that 40th stripe would have killed Him. They didn't want to kill Him. They wanted Him alive on that cross. Most people didn't get beat like that when they hung Him on a cross. They'd lay there, they'd hang on that cross for days. They died of starvation on a cross. They died of starvation, or animals would come and kill them. That's usually how people died on a cross. If they didn't break the legs, because the Passover was coming, they had to break the legs to hurry up their death. They would have hung there for days. You really can't go without water except for 3 days. Then you dehydrate and go into, I don't know if it's a coma or what happens to you. But it was a cruel, cruel, cruel way to die. But they really, Jesus went through so much. You think people want to, the devil, think people know what Jesus did for them? If the human race just knew what a price He paid.
Amen.
And He did it willingly.
Yes.
And this week lately He's been speaking to me about, you know what? I knew there'd be a Teresa who would believe.
Amen.
He did it because He knew there was going to be a people who would believe in Him and who would serve Him and who would make their way, it would be, their eyes would be open and they wouldn't be blind anymore and they could go to heaven. And they would be out there telling other people about Jesus. He's raised from the dead. And you know, He says He gave His life and He took it back again. It was given to Him to take back His own life. He took His life back. He gave it up, but He took it back. He took it back. He knew there'd be a Walter. He knew there'd be a Delisa, a Rosemary, a Darlene, a Shirley. He knew there'd be a group of people who would truly trust in, adhere to, and rely upon Him.
Yes.
Because He's alive. We can believe in Him. That's the ones whose eyes are open now. They can see. Now I want to take us to St. John chapter 9. And it's starting with verse 1. And this is a story. I was reading this morning. St. John chapter 9 verse 1. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified, but it's very similar to the King James, but I'm going to read the Amplified. He said, as He passed along, He noticed a man blind from his birth. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, it is not that this man or his parents sinned, but he was born blind in order that the workings of God should be manifested, displayed, and illustrated in Him. I'm going to read some more of this in a minute, but I want to stop here and I want to share this. I want to share from these scriptures here. Jesus is passing along, it says, and He noticed a man that was blind from birth. You know, in the spirit, you just know things about people. And He knew this man was blind. He was laying there begging. And he was blind. But Jesus, I'm sure, knew that he was blind from birth. In other words, he was blind in his womb. His mother's womb, he was blind. He was blind from his conception. He'd never seen a tree. He'd never looked at a brook or a field of grass or looked at the sun. He was blind from birth. This is a complete example of someone who's been spiritually blind, because we were all born into sin. We were born blind spiritually all our lives until we met the Master, until Jesus comes along. Right? This man would have lived out his life completely blind from birth, never would have ever known what a tree looked like, know what his parents looked like, his sisters, his brother. He knew all this stuff was going on around him, but he never had a physical, mental image of anything. And he was blind from birth. You and I were spiritually blind from birth until we met Jesus, right? And the first thing these folks did when they saw this guy that's blind from birth, he's the teacher, and he's got disciples that he's been teaching them about the things of the kingdom for a long while now. They've traveled with him everywhere. They've seen all kinds of miracles, the 5,000 fed. They've already witnessed all of that. They've seen some major miracles up to this point. And now they're asking him, whose fault is this that this person is born blind? And you see, Jesus, he was Jesus then, just like he's Jesus now. He came out of heaven and came to earth. And he's not limited now to the physical things of this life. Jesus knew and understood everything about the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking to people who were blind. Nobody had been born again yet. So he's relating on their level something spiritual. Because it's a spiritual question they just ask him. Sin is a spiritual force. Sin is not just a physical thing. Sin is a spiritual thing of the human spirit. Sin really is a spiritual thing. And so they're asking him, why is there a physical manifestation of blindness? Is it because of something spiritual that has happened to his parents? Because he was born this way. And this is his answer. Now I want you to compare it to spiritual blindness. Whose fault was it that we are spiritually blind? I blame Adam for it. I blame Adam for that. But I believe Adam's been forgiven for that. I believe that Adam has been complete. I believe Adam's in heaven. I really do. Because whenever the graves burst open after Jesus' death, and he went into the bosom of Abraham and he brought out the saints that were there, I believe those people are in the bosom of Abraham. I believe they were taken out of paradise and now they're in heaven with God, with Jesus. But Jesus knew what all was getting ready to happen. And he says, this man was born blind for the glory of God, that God could be manifested in this man. Anytime you or I or anyone is born again, and they are absolutely brought out of complete blindness from birth, does it not give God the greatest glory?
Amen. Yes, it
is. I mean, isn't it just an absolute manifestation of the goodness of God? You've been talking about the goodness of God. How good is God? And it absolutely took God to make a way for us to have spiritual sight.
Right.
Or we'd be still blind. And if Jesus hadn't come along and passed by that way, he's passing by where this fellow's sitting, begging. Thank goodness he passed by that way and he saw him, and he had been blind since birth. And the disciples want to know, well, why is he blind? I've heard it preached all my life that, yeah, God made this man blind just so he could show his power. That's not it at all. God doesn't make people blind. God doesn't bring sickness and disease. That came with the fall of man. If there's anything, you got to go right back to the beginning of the whole situation when Satan deceived Eve, and Adam, being not deceived, rebelled against God, and there was high treason in the heart of Adam. And then blindness came to man. Spiritual blindness came, and so did all the other afflictions and things of the curse. The curse came upon the earth.
Yes.
But he was getting ready to show forth glory. He was getting ready to do something that had never, ever been done, ever. Did you know no one had ever, in the history of time, healed a blinded eye that had been born from birth? Never. Had never happened. Until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, it was never possible for anyone to ever be born again. It would have been a complete impossibility. Impossible. If Jesus hadn't come by that man that day, he would have never, ever received his sight. Ever. Never. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man, his parents sinned, but he was born blind in order that the working of God should be manifested, displayed, and illustrated in him." He is an example, the first example of what it is like when somebody gets born again. It's being illustrated in this man. Illustrated. And it wasn't just in that moment that he got his sight back. It's an illustration of all that processed after this. Now, if you read this story, this is the illustration. If you read a book and it's got pictures, doesn't that kind of help you understand the book? That's what an illustration does. An illustration is like, okay, you've got to, say you're going to build something. And they, like you're going to build a house, and they start giving you pictures. Or you're putting together something. Don't you just love those illustrations that A goes into B, and B goes into C, and you know, you can kind of look, when I put this thing together, I had illustrations. Thank God I had some illustrations, because I read the instructions, but they didn't make as much sense without the illustration. And so the illustration of all the parts going together helped me understand what I'm doing here. And so when you look at this blinded eye, this man who was brought out of complete darkness, complete blindness, with absolutely no sight at all, and you look at what happened in the next few chapters of this man's life after this event, it wasn't just that he was born, he got his eyes back. It's all about the illustration and the example. And it's an illustration about being born again. This whole thing is about the glory of God in people today after his death, burial, and resurrection. He knew he was going to the cross. And he knew what was getting ready to happen. And if you ever, and you read the scriptures, and you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, you know Jesus already knows the beginning from the end. And you begin to read these scriptures from that perspective, and you start looking at it from a different angle. For years and years and years, I just read the Bible from one angle, with like a blinders on. Now I see things because I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And I'm trying to put myself in Jesus' shoes, and I'm trying to walk, and I'm walking in Galilee with him from the perspective that he had in his mind as he was ministering. And that's what we need to start doing. If you want your eyes to see more than you've ever seen before, begin to minister, allow the Holy Spirit to put you in his shoes from his perspective as he ministers to these people. Stop being the people he's talking to and be Jesus talking to the people. Do you see what I'm talking about? Put yourself in his place and be Jesus for a moment as you're walking through Galilee. Get inside the mind of the Savior, because you do have the mind of Christ, you know. And eyesights have now been opened, and you can see things that they could never see. And he's doing his best to bring an illustration about the glory of God for them. Blindness is the most horrible thing that you could ever, ever imagine happening to a human life. Is complete blindness from birth. And that's exactly what's going along with our neighbors, our friends, our family that have never, ever had their eyes open to the things of the Spirit of God. They can't even read that Bible like you do. They can't even pray like you and I do. They cannot believe, trust, and hear, and rely upon the God that we call on. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How blind people really are. And Jesus said this man is an illustration and an example of what's coming. Just watch here. Just watch. So what did he do? He says, he goes to him and he says, he takes spit out of his mouth and makes mud. I've heard this preached in so many different ways, but I saw it in a way I'd never seen it before. this morning. He took that mud. You know how medicinal I am about things. Don't you be spitting on me. I don't want your germs. Don't be sneezing on me. Don't be spitting on me. Don't nothing, you know. Leave it, keep it to yourself. But he took spit and he made mud. And he put it over his eyes. Smeared a big old glob of spitty mud on his eyelids. There's not an ounce of power in that mud. There's not an ounce of power. It illustrates. Illustration coming at us. That's how people look in the spirit world. They've got so much. I was praying. This happened. I was praying for a fellow one time. I was at a Bible study. This has been about 25 years ago, before I even moved down here. And I was at a Bible study. We used to go to this Bible study every week. And a whole bunch of us used to get together, young people. And we'd sit and talk about the Bible, then we'd pray. Well, this girl who was having the Bible study, her husband wasn't saved. And it was snowy and cold, and I remember, you know, I wanted to pray for him. We'd been praying for people. And I felt led of the Lord to pray for this man. And I didn't. I just didn't. Because, you know, you feel a little bit backward. You know, somebody's home, and, you know, can I pray for you? Well, I just didn't feel that prompting to do it. I wanted to, but I just kind of hesitated. I get in my truck, or car at that time, I get in my car, and I got stuck. I could not get out of their driveway. I tried every way in the world to get out of that driveway and could not get out of the driveway, spinning wheels. And about that time, and I'm out there trying my best for 5 or 10 minutes. The man's wife comes running out and says, "Teresa, get back in here. He wants you to pray for him. He wants to get saved." Well, it's a good thing I didn't get out of that mud or that snow. So I go back in, and he says, "I want to get saved." I got on my knees, and I held onto the man's hands. And I don't remember even how I prayed. But I'm telling you, it was like an exorcism. He began to scream, and I mean yelling and hollering. And I mean it was just the power of God. It was a powerful move of God. And he was just a yelling and a carrying on. And he said he felt like there had been weights on his eyelids. I've had other people tell me this. He said, I felt weights on my eyelids, and it was like scales. Remember how the scales fell off of Paul's eyes when Ananias went and prayed for him to receive his sight? Glory to God. This is something coming to us. We got to pray for people to receive their sight. And those scales flew off of this man's eyes. He said it just felt like weights were on him. And he said they ripped off his eyes and he could see. And he began to shout and praise God. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome time. And this man got set free and got delivered, but he received his sight. Received his sight. Paul was struck blind for 3 days. And Ananias had a vision. Let's read on a little bit more about what happened here. Because this is an illustration. Jesus, verse 4 says, and I'm reading now in the Amplified, it said, "We must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it is daylight. Night is coming when no man can work." Now we know that it's coming. We better do everything we can right now to get people out of darkness that we can. Because we know our assignment. We know if we're sent, every one of us that's been born again is sent into the dark to reach the dark. Those are in the dark. The blind. "We must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it is daylight. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light, the world's light." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay or mud with his saliva, and he spread it as ointment on the man's eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So much right there in that little verse. Siloam, the pool of Siloam, really meant the pool of scent. The pool of scent. He went and washed the mud off of his eyes in the pool of scent. And that's what happened to me. I don't know about you all, but I'm sent. I knew that I was sent the day I received my sight. I knew I could not keep to myself what was going on around me in the spirit realm. I knew I couldn't stop telling my neighbors and my friends and my family, there is a real devil and there's a real hell, and he's got you blind. And he's taking you to hell with him if he can. You got to get unblind. You got to get born again. You need to know Jesus is coming. I was sent the day that I received my sight. I washed in the pool of sin also. This is an illustration coming at you. How can you be? How can you not know that we're sent? We're sent. You're sent to your sister. You're sent to your brother. You're sent to your relatives of all kinds. Neighbors, cousins, friends, everybody. You're sent. Isn't this good? When the neighbors and those who used to know him by sight as a beggar saw him, they said, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Well, it is he." Others said, "No, no, but it looks very much like him." But he said, "Yes, I'm the man." I mean, it was such a miracle that, and I'm sure his expressions on his face were different. You sit around blind all the time, I mean, and you've never ever seen anything, I'll guarantee you, you're going to act different. I can so relate to this, can't you? Now you see, and what are you doing? You're looking everywhere. Oh, I never saw that red. I never saw the color red before. Oh, what's this color called? What's that called? What's that color? What is this? What is that? Can you just imagine?
Well,
never ever seeing anything ever and not knowing what red was or blue was or the sky or any. Is that a tree? And looking at his hands, this is what a hand looks like. This is what a foot looks like. This never saw hair before. I mean, just imagine being completely blind. That's the way it was when I got born again. I don't know about anybody else. But I was like that. I'm running around. I just can't get over it. God is real. He is a real God. And there's real angels. But you know what? There's also real devils. And I knew that too. My eyes were opened. I wasn't blind anymore because the God of this world had me blind. He's got our families blind. He's got our neighbors blind. But we wash in the pool sent. Isn't that good? We've done been washing the pool sent. We are absolutely sent to this lost world. Now, I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. I was praying about somebody, and I was saying, "Lord, I'm really sorry I didn't reach that person. I'm really sorry. I know they died, and I know they're lost. They were probably lost, and I feel really bad about that." I said, I really don't want anybody. I don't want to lose anybody else like that. And I sure hope he doesn't hate me. He says, "Oh yeah, he hates you. He hates you right now. In hell, he hates you." And you know, that was a bad feeling. Lord, I don't want nobody hating me in hell for eternity. Yeah, they're never going to blame themselves for being in hell. But I should have done more. Now, whether it would have made a difference, probably not. Because I felt the release from this gentleman. But I don't know. But I know he hates me in hell. Because he knows right now his spiritual eyes are open and he knows things that he didn't know before because he was blind, right? The devil blinded him. Now he knows. Now he sees perfectly. Remember Lazarus in hell? He knew Abraham. He knew Lazarus. He had perfect memory recall. Remembered his brothers and his family back home? Said, "Please tell Moses." He remembered Moses. He said, let somebody from the dead go back there and talk to them. And he says, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if somebody from the dead goes to them. But do you know what I believe with all my heart? I believe with all my heart that if we will speak the word of God to people that are lost, and we begin to pull down the spiritual strongholds on their minds, give them the opportunity to believe, adhere to, trust, and rely upon Jesus. He is the light of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, sometimes I've been in people's face and said, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. I don't know if that's the best approach. I know that Paul said sometimes you got to pull them out of the fire, saving them, pulling them out of the fire by fear. It's the fear of the Lord that brings us. You know, it's the fear of the Lord. How is it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You believe there is one God, you do well, because the devils also believe and tremble. They ain't got no blindness going on. The devils have no blindness going on. They know perfectly well what is up. They know all about heaven. They know all about hell. And they know all about you and me. And they'll still try to get you blind. They'll still try to keep you blind. You know, the thing that amazes me is that people can be born again of the Spirit of God, have received the sight, been washed in the pool sent. You've been sent. And still want to gravitate back to blindness. Because you know why? Because they have not yet to learn how to believe. That means trust, adhere to, and rely upon Jesus. They're still trying to walk in the things that are in darkness to get their way. Because they haven't truly believed. You can see things, but once you start seeing more and more and more, you got to, it draws you like a magnet. The light will get clearer and clearer and clearer. We're still looking at this illustration. I want to show you something else about this story. Here's these people. They're just amazed. So they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he replied, the man called Jesus made mud and smeared it on my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam, or go to Sent, and wash. So he went. So I went and washed, and I obtained my sight. They asked him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Then they conducted to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. You see, under the Jewish law, anytime somebody was healed or delivered, they had to present themselves to the rabbis, to the Pharisees, to the church. You know, if a leper was healed, they had to present that and declare them cleansed. They were the ones that were the ones who declared the cleansing, the healing, because they were under a religious order. And so they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees. Now it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus mixed the mud and opened the man's eyes. This is verse 14. Verse 15, so now again the Pharisee asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he smeared mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. Then some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God because he does not observe the Sabbath. Now that's blind. Is that not some blindness going on? But others said, how can a man who is a sinner, a bad man, do such signs and miracles? So there was a difference of opinion among them. Accordingly, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, seeing that he opened your eyes? And he said, he must be a prophet. This is what the blind man said, the blind that received his sight. The blind man says, he is a prophet. There, however, the Jews did not believe that he had really been blind and that he had received his sight until they summoned the parents of the man. They asked him, is this your son, whom you reported as having been born blind? How then does he now see, or see now? His parents answered, we know that this is our son, but that he was born blind. But as to how he can now see, we do not know. Or who has opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. Let him speak for himself and give his own account of it. His parents said, this because they feared the leader of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should acknowledge Jesus to be the Christ, he should be expelled and excluded from the synagogue. In other words, they could excommunicate you from the church. And that was not a good thing. To not be able to bring your offerings, to be able to bring your tithes, to be able to bring... You would be completely cut off from the covenant of Israel. Pretty much, you'd be lost. And that was serious. So they had already decided, you know, anybody that adheres to, trusts, or relies upon Jesus, they're getting cut out. So the parents said, you go talk to him. And on that account, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Now that's the reason. In other words, that's the reason they sent him. They just said, okay, we're taking this monkey off our back. You go talk to him. We're not taking any credit here. We don't know how this happened. You go ask him. So the second time they summoned the man who had been born blind and said to him, now give God the glory or the praise. This fellow we know is only a sinner, a wicked man. Then he answered, I do not know whether he's a sinner or wicked or what or not. But one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind before, now I see. Never had seen anything. Now I see. Talk about a life-changing experience, a life-changing event. And he got in their face and said that. You know what I love about this fella? He didn't care if they excommunicated him or not. He just told it like it was. I don't know about whether he's blind or not. Now, it gets even better than this. This is the illustration. I believe this is an illustration of a person who gets born again of the Spirit of God. And they're facing all kinds of ridicule from their family. They don't understand what's happened to you. I run around talking about grass, how green it was. I'm sure they thought I lost my mind. There's no doubt they thought I lost my mind. I burned all my hot pants. I burned all my bikinis. I burned about everything I had. All my rock and roll music. And for 3 years, I went to this church. I finally found a church about a year later, and I didn't wear nothing but a dress for 3 years. Because they told me that I was supposed to wear a dress, right? I didn't know better. I didn't know nothing. Until they told me to take my makeup off, and I changed my mind about that. I think, God, I need to hear from you on this. And then the Lord began to speak to me about other things. Because, you know, you're still completely not all revelation. But I run around talking about Jesus to everybody. Because I knew I'd received my sight. And so they've come to him and they've said a second time. And so they said to him in verse 26, now what did he actually do to you? Let's hear about this again. They're really grilling this guy. Now what actually happened to you? How did he open your eyes? Let's hear this again. And we want to know. And really, they didn't want to know anything about his blindness. They didn't care about his being blind from birth. They didn't care about any. Religion never cares about the glory of God or a miracle. They only care about what they believe. Amen. That brings them profit, power, pride, amen, control. Blindness is all about control. You keep somebody blind, you can control them. You keep somebody in the dark, you can have your way with them. Amen. True. So let me see here. How did he do this? They didn't care. They were just trying to catch him up in something that they could get rid of him, shut him down. They really hated Jesus. He said, I already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Can it be that you wish to become his disciples also? Boy, that was a good dig. I like that. I like that. Boy, that was a good one. You want to be his disciple, huh? I'll tell you about him. I'll get you saved. Let me tell you about the miracles I've seen. Thank you, Jesus. And they stormed at him. I mean, they were, boy, he got them good at that point. They stormed at him and they jeered and they sneered and they reviled him and retorted. I mean, they were screaming at him, you are his disciple. But we are not his disciple. We are disciples of Moses, the law. You know, Moses, anytime you read about Moses, in fact, in Hebrews it says the law came by Moses, which is good. I mean, the law is a good thing. They needed the law. Laws are for the lawless. But grace and truth came by Jesus. Mercy, grace, truth came from Jesus. So we know for certain. This is what verse 29 says. We know for certain that God spoke with Moses, but as for this fellow, we know nothing about where he hails from. The man replied, "Well, this is an astonishing." I like that. Well, this is an astonishing. That's astonishing. Think about this. This is the boldness of this man. This is an astonishing thing. You're the rulers over all of Israel. You have the power of leadership in Israel religion, the Mosaic religion, the Mosaic law. And the truth is, if they had been living during the time Moses was there, they would have been just like the rest of them out there in the wilderness. They would have been just as critical and murmuring, complaining, just like they all did. Though they doubted Moses, every time they turned around, they doubted Moses. Here's a man. Here's the astonishing thing about this. Here's a man who's opened my eyes. And yet, you do not even know where he comes from. Now, that's amazing. And you're supposed to know everything. You're the ones who know the law, the Word of God. You know all about God. You know everything about religion. You've been to seminary. You've done studied for years and years about the things of God. You've been taught, and you can quote scripture, and you can just do so much when it comes to that Bible. You know that Bible inside and out. This is amazing. Here I was blind, and you don't know how that happened. And you just think about it. This is so similar to our lives. It's not an illustration. I've run into so many religious people that are so blind. And you start talking about a miracle, or you start talking about what God did. Well, God, don't do that no more. I'm not going to mention any particular denomination, but I've been in front of some that absolutely jeered and scoffed at me and got so angry at me that if they'd been in any authority over me, they would have done kicked me out. I was in a hospital one time, and it was in Portsmouth, Ohio, and I was a very young Christian, but I would have thought that somebody with a white collar would know God. This man was evil. He was downright evil to me. There was no love of God there. And I learned right quick, okay, sorry. I'm just bragging on Jesus. And he didn't like that. How God answers my prayers and God does this for me. Oh, he hated that. He jeered at me. Now, I don't think everybody with the white collar is like that, but this particular fellow was. And there's a lot of religion. This is the blindness of religion. Religion is to me, it's the worst kind of blindness. It's the worst kind of blindness because they go around saying, "I know all about it. I've done been to seminary 4 years. I done have my degree, my PhD and everything else. And you're going to try to tell me about God? Well, this is an amazing thing. You got all this education and you don't know how I got my sight?" You see the illustration? It is amazing. And this is a poor beggar who's never seen anything, and he's got more common sense than all of them. And boldness, too. But that's the way I was. After I washed in the pool sent, I tell you what, I was sent. I couldn't help but be sent. I got sent. Because I knew there was a real hell. And I almost went there. Come real close to not accepting Jesus. Come so close. It could have went the other way. Thank God I had enough something in me that wanted God. Yes. I believe, honestly, it was people praying for me. Praise God. Amen. Now look at the next things he says here. After he says, this is just amazing. And this is what he's now preaching to these people. Here he goes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and a worshiper of Him and does His will, he listens to Him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything like this. Isn't that just good news? He's preaching. Preaching a good message there. And he just says, poor, got ragged clothes. I'm sure he didn't have the best of clothes. He never could work. All he could do was beg. He maybe hadn't even taken a bath and didn't smell very good in front of all these religious, wonderful men. Powerful men. And he's preaching a word to them. And what did they get? They just got more angry. They just got even more angry. And they said, they retorted, you were holy. And I would say they're gritting their teeth. You were wholly born in sin. From head to foot. At least it says in Amplified. From head to foot. And do you presume to teach us? So they cast him out and threw him clear outside the synagogue. Isn't that the way religion will do you? Now see, this is an illustration to me. You think they're going to embrace you? No. There's some churches that are not going to embrace the way I preach, the way you believe, because they can't see. Even the ones who say, we see. We know. I think this is such a great illustration for us to just know. And you see the glory of God in your life. See, the glory of God is so great. You see, this is the glory of God showing forth in this man's life. This is a picture and an illustration of the great, powerful glory of God on a human life that meant absolutely nothing to anybody. Nothing. Even his parents really didn't want to risk getting kicked out for him. He was probably a burden from the time he was brought out of the womb. He was a burden. They had to feed him. They had to carry him. They had to do everything for him. He could not see to walk nowhere. He was a liability. Now he can see. And the first thing he does, he starts preaching the word. Amen. I think this is an awesome revelation to us and what we're supposed to do. An illustration of our lives, because we're not blind anymore. We see, and we're going to see more. A hunger to see more and understand more, and revelation more and more understanding. And there's something that's when you can see, you talk about boldness. You talk about boldness. This guy had boldness because he could see now. Never had ever seen a tree, a leaf, the color green, the color red, the blue. Never seen a sky. That's the way it is when you get born again, really. So what happens then after this? And let's go ahead and finish this up. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And meeting him, he said, do you believe in, adhere to, the Son of God, or the Son of Man, or the Son of God? And he answered, who is he? Tell me that I may believe in and adhere to him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him. Thank you, Jesus. We've seen him. We've seen Jesus. I haven't seen him physically, but I've seen him. You see him every day. You get on your knees and pray. You see him. What did Paul say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I look unto him every day. That's seeing, isn't it? Why would you look to somebody you didn't see? I'm looking and I'm seeing Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory. I may go to that verse in a minute. But let me finish reading here. He said, who is he that I can believe? You've seen him. In fact, he is talking to you right now. It's me. Here I am. I'm talking to you. It's me. You can see me now. And he's looking at him. You're the one. You know, I don't know if it's real clear exactly what happened or how far it was from the pool. But this, let's just picture this in our minds. Here's the guy standing at the long of the side of the road, begging for a crumb, alms, help of some kind, penny. And he had probably his basket there on the ground. He'd never seen never seen anything. Had never seen his parents, had never seen anything. And all of a sudden, someone comes along and says, "Would you like to receive your sight?" Well, of course, but I'm not sure what to expect. What's sight look like? What is sight like? I've never had sight, so I don't have a clue what it would be like to see. So he puts this stuff on his eyes, put this mud on his eyes. He didn't know he spit on the ground and did all that. Maybe he did, but he knew he made mud. And he said, "Now go to the pool," and somebody had to probably lead him there. It might have been a mile away. Might have been two blocks down the road. But anyway, he goes. And he comes out with his sight.
Yes, amen.
Now, it doesn't say Jesus was standing right there and said, "Hi, how you doing? I did that for you." He didn't say that. It doesn't say that he was there. But I'm telling you, I bet it was some commotion going on. Not about, if it was me, the way as verbal as I am, and that had happened to me, I'll guarantee you, I would be freaking plumb out. I would be screaming. I would be jumping. I would be grabbing things. I would be just flipping out. Everybody around me would have known something going on with that girl. And that's pretty much the way I was when I got saved. My daddy used to come down. Honestly, he'd come down and say, and sit down and he'd be in a panic and he'd say, sit down, I got to talk to you. You need to settle down. People thinking you've lost your mind. They're going to come and take you away in a straitjacket. You're just going to have to settle down. That what you want? You want to end up in a nut house somewhere? You done lost your mind. You went religious crazy. I mean, I'm witnessing to everybody. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. I packed a Bible everywhere I went. Put it in the middle of my grocery cart, up and down every aisle. Did you know there is a real God and there is a real heaven and there is a real hell? And do you know Jesus is real? He's coming. Are you ready? You're born again. You've got to get born again, you know. You ever heard of being born again? I never heard of it until it happened to me. And people would look at me like I was plumb from another planet. And they would run from me. I remember this one guy was ducking his head around the corner and saw me coming. He ran. They'd run from me. Oh, Lord, Katie, bar the door. Here she comes. And they would fight over who was going to take my groceries out for me. And I always parked way at the end of the grocery line. I mean, way at the end of the parking lot. And they would fight over who was going to take my groceries. Because they got preached to the whole way down the end of the row of the cars. And I always bought a month's worth of groceries. I had three kids, or two kids at the time. And I'm preaching to them all the way. In fact, I saw one of the buggy guys or the grocery bag boys about 3 or 4 years later, and he said, I got saved, I got born again. I know what you're talking about now. And he said, I said, well, praise the Lord. And we're rejoicing out in the middle of the parking lot of this gas station. And he said, I want to tell you, though, what, lady, I thought you was the craziest woman I ever met in my life. I said, that's one crazy woman. He said, but I never could forget what you said to me. You know, people do not forget what you say to them. Because those words are eternal words. If you're a voice for God and you've got a testimony, that's why I have people testify. It's so powerful. Your testimony, you've got a yoke-breaking testimony. Because the yoke was broken off of you, you can also break the yoke off of somebody else with the power of God. We don't realize the power and the anointing. I was just sharing with Darlene about the story about how that Philip was sent. The angel spoke to Philip. He was just ministering in this city. I believe he was in Samaria at the time. I could go there, but I want to finish. But anyway, the story goes that Philip, the angel spake to Philip. It's in Acts. And all of a sudden, the angel said, you go to Gaza, or this strip of wilderness there, and you just go there. So he goes there. He obeys the angel talking to him. Angels talk to me. You ain't had an angel talking to you lately? He probably has, and you just maybe not know it, but he talks. Angels talk to us. So I get an angel going, tells me to do this or do that. You just do it. So I'm over there, listen, I'm in Phillip's over there, because I've done this. I have heard angels tell me to do things. And so anyway, Phillips goes into this place, and he's standing around, and here comes a chariot down the road. He knows the angel's sitting there for a reason. Here comes a chariot, and this is a very important man. He is an Ethiopian from the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, and he is over her whole treasury. He's a eunuch. We were talking about eunuchs. And here he is in this, and he's reading, and somebody's driving his chariot. He's sitting in the back. He's got servants. And he's just riding along in his big fancy chariot. And the Holy Spirit speaks to him. Then it says, you go over and join yourself to this chariot. And you know, horses just kind of plod along. If we was in a race car, if he's in a car today, shoom, you'd be going right on by. It'd be hard to flag somebody down going 60 miles an hour. But they were just going 2 or 3 miles an hour. And he says, join yourself to that chariot. He says, excuse me, can I join you? And he says, yeah, I'm reading that. He said, what are you reading there? I'm reading the book of Isaiah. Well, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I? He says, you know, how can I understand? Except somebody explain it to me. So he says, well, you want me to explain it to you? So he begins to preach. He's reading in there about Jesus, how he was taken like a lamb, dumb, and was, like before his shears. And all about what Jesus went through. And he explains to him about the salvation that Jesus provided. And he says, do you believe? He said, well, I want to believe. Well, you can be saved. You can get born again if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch said, oh, I believe with my whole heart. But you see, the angel couldn't have spoke to that man. The Holy Spirit wasn't sent to speak to people the Word of God. We're the ones that are sent to speak the Word of God to people. It's got to be the Word of God in your heart, out of your mouth, that's going to set people free and give them their sight.
Amen.
We've been sent to the lost world. The devil's blinded them. Now we are here to unblind them. This is an illustration. We're to be Jesus in this earth. And so the eunuch says, well, here's some water. Let me get baptized right here. If you believe with all your heart, we can do it. Oh, I believe with my whole heart. And that's what happened. He gets saved. Then he goes on back to Ethiopia. There was a great revival, I believe, that broke out in Ethiopia because of this man. Glory to God. I just got chills all over me. Isn't this been good? Isn't this been good? I love there's not one thing. Let me say this. There is not one thing in this Bible that's not there for a powerful reason for us. Because John said that Jesus did so much. He did so many miracles. He did so much that if every single thing he was recorded, the world couldn't contain the books. The world couldn't hold the books, the volumes of books that would be written. The world. That's a lot of stuff. So everything that we do have recorded is a reason for it. These are things are illustrations and examples for us. Everything was important that we have recorded. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close here. This has been a good word this morning. Father, I just seal this word right now. In the name of Jesus, that we are not blind. We've received our sight. And we now have been given your word. We've been given a commission. We are high priests. We are priests unto our God. We are been made holy nation, a royal priesthood unto our God. That's what the word says. You're the high priest, and we're the royal priesthood under you. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone that's been born again of the Spirit, we have received a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if they believe, they'll be saved. If they don't believe, they'll be lost. They'll be damned. And it's a sad thing, Father, but God, I ask you to give us the grace to fulfill the commission that each one of us have on a personal level with our families, our circle, our world. Our world are the people, Father. I know our world is the people that we rub shoulders with. So God, give each one of us the grace right now, impart the grace to go to our worlds, to our world, and win the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.